On the line, we have Dr. Peter Chen from the University of Sydney, and he's going to give us a bit of a rundown on what's been happening in politics in the last week. Talk a bit about those Adler shotguns, what it's going to do for the National Party. Peter, are you there?
Yes.
Excellent. How are you going?
Good. How are you today?
It's bright and breezy, Monday morning. Good day on the Monday, on the Monday Daily here on 2SER. What's been happening, just go over the last week of what we've had in federal politics with the ABCC, all the deals that are being done in the Senate. Who's come out of this best overall? I think, like with the backpack attacks, Jackie Lambie was out front and centre with the 10.5% on one end of it. But then we had a late horse coming in at the end there, the Greens, doing the deal with the government to bring it in at 13 or 15%, depending on whose numbers you look at. What do you think's been going on with all that?
Well, I think it shows you how complex the Senate has become with the minor parties and independents occupying space. And sometimes those minor parties and independents are hard to tell apart. So if you think about Rod Carlton, the WA Senator for One Nation, he seems to be a member of One Nation, except when he decides to act autonomously, and then he acts autonomously, throwing a bit of a spanner in the works for One Nation. But we always knew that the Senate outcome was going to present a very complex set of potential minimum win coalitions that the government could negotiate on different policy areas. And that seems to be coming to fruition. So on different particular policy areas, the government is managing at times to negotiate some of its legislation through, but with different groups of senators at any time. So we haven't seen the kind of formation of a new kind of meta coalition of senators. What we've seen is that on different issues, different groupings will come together. So if we take the issue of the backpack attacks is a good example. At the beginning of the week, the government thought that they had managed to get a 15% agreement through with negotiation with One Nation. Then Senator Culloden changed his position and decided that he preferred the 10.5%.
Yeah, it's sort of many nations, isn't it, One Nation at the moment?
Yeah, well, it's looking a little bit like the way in which the One Nation performed when it had significant power in the Queensland Parliament a couple of decades ago, and that it quickly sort of fragmented, partly because, you've sort of got a party full of people who are kind of steadfastly independent in their orientation. But that certainly meant that the government was in a bit of a difficult position. Then at the end of the week, they went and signed an agreement with the Greens for some money for Landcare or something like that.
Did you see that one coming?
No, not necessarily.
It was a bit out of left field, wasn't it?
Well, it was a bit out of left field, but it just shows that the smaller political parties are willing to make agreements.
Do you like my left field there, the Greens on the left in the field?
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
it's early in the morning.
I should have appreciated that more.
Oh, well, you know, it's the best I could do at this time of the morning.
Yeah, but I think what it shows is that it's going to be an extremely long parliament for the government, where every piece of legislation has different groups of senators that it negotiates through. But in terms of the end of the year, the government hasn't got what they wanted necessarily, so they took a huge haircut on the $500 million of revenue they were hoping to raise off the 32% original backpack attacks proposal over 3 years that came out of the budget. So they've taken a huge haircut on that. Half of that has been lost to them.
Do you think that was a real estimate anyway? Because if it was going to be 32%, apparently all our backpackers are going to end up in New Zealand. So, you know, the question is, would they have got it? Probably not.
It's hard to say. Yeah. I mean, there's been some research that was done. A guy called Jeff Jarvis did some surveys of backpackers, and he sort of asked some questions about differential tax rates. And certainly at the higher tax rate, they said, no, we won't come, we'll go to New Zealand. And then he asked them a tax rate closer to what would have produced the equivalent in the pocket amount of money for New Zealand. And they said, they sort of said, no, we'll go to New Zealand instead. So the question is, I think, do highly individualistic backpackers who are the kind of quote-unquote genuine tourist backpackers make decisions based on those calculus? Is probably not necessarily. But what we saw in recent years, and there was a parliamentary inquiry in the beginning of the years into 457 and 417, and that's the backpacker visa. There was a parliamentary inquiry at the beginning of the year, and certainly out of the kind of Korean orbit, there's been these kind of labour hire companies have been recruiting large chunks of people to come out under those visas to do work. And those people probably have a greater sense of the implications of the tax arrangements because, are they actually really backpacker tourists or are they just using that scheme to come out and do labouring?
Yeah. And look, one of the people's names which keep popping up is George Christensen. Now, you know, I think Barnaby has been going around thinking that he might be the next cabinet minister or some sort of a minister. What's the secret of the rise and rise of George Christensen, do you think?
Okay, well, I think there's two kind of aspects to it, and those two names are really relevant there. The first is certainly we have an emboldened National Party under Barnaby Joyce. He's a much more assertive figure than his predecessor, Warren Truss, a man who most people would have had trouble kind of picking out of a lineup. Barnaby Joyce is a much more younger, more dynamic kind of figure. So certainly what we've seen is the Nationals have been willing to be more assertive within the coalition. And that's something that's been occurring at the federal level, but we started to see that actually at the state level. So if we think about the Greyhounds issue or the Shotguns issue, which we might talk about, within New South Wales, for example, the National Party got a little bit of a fright. They realised they are a bit of a hostage to the coalition agreement, so they're making a fair amount of additional noise. So, first of all, I think there's a kind of emboldened space within the coalition for the Nationals to be more autonomous and independent, at least rhetorically. And the second thing is there's George Christensen, who's this guy from Queensland. He's got a really, really big personality. He understands the media really well. He's a, you know, he used to run local newspapers in Queensland. He's got a journalism background, so he's...
Well, he can't be any good, can he?
Well, I don't know if he can't be any good, but certainly he understands how the media works.
Yeah.
And he's used that to great effect. And also, I guess, he's one of these emboldened kind of right-wing elements within the coalition. And on top of that, there's a little bit of a vacuum because Corey Bernardi, the kind of favourite spokesman of the alt-right, if you want to use that term in Australia...
Yes, he's been kept
is
over
overseas.
In the US, isn't he?
So there was a bit of a vacuum there, and Christensen is willing to step into that space.
So they just ship one sort of difficult person across and out of the way, and they've got another one moving into the space.
they must be getting
a bit frustrated. The chief of staff at Malcolm Turnbull's office, mustn't he?
I guess what you have to say is the coalition has a broad, you know, representation of political positions within it, right? And it kind of always has. And certainly at times, you know, members of coalition parties have rattled the cage, and we can think of, you know, Bjorke Petersen, for example, you know, making an independent run for the prime ministership from the office of the premier in Queensland and things like
without
that.
Without actually being a member or even a candidate.
But certainly the coalition parties and the agreement, and let alone the kind of individual party components, they are quote unquote a broad church, right? Mm. And so you have people like George Christensen, who's, you know, an identitarianist politician, who isn't afraid to, offend people. On the other hand, you still have, you know, small L liberals within the party who are not interested in that sort of kind of ethno-nationalist sort of politics. And that's obviously presenting headaches for the Prime Minister, but that's the contemporary face of his party, right?
Yeah. And this, we've got in the news today from listening to the 2CR news with Sinead Nolan, that the Adler shotgun is again in the headlines. And, you know, how important is it for the Nationals to look like they're, you know, pro-guns?
Yeah, so this is the thing, right? So the reason why it's in the headlines is that the coalition in New South Wales might be about to agree to reclassify the gun into actually one of the more restrictive categories, right, the C or the D category. So that's not a sort of weapon that your average kind of shooter is going to be able to access. But there's two reasons behind this. The first, I think, is the Shooters and Fishers and Farmers Party in New South Wales, and we look at the seat of Orange, has, you know, had a major upset and are starting to threaten that National Party heartland. And this
is
part of the story about their kind of willingness to break loose of the coalition agreement a bit because they're under threat.
It's interesting that they've added farmers to that too, the Shooters and Fishers, isn't it? So it looks like they're really moving in to some of the National Party territory.
Yeah, and that's because there was kind of, interesting thing. I mean, the Shooters and Fishers Party grew out of the shooters clubs that got much more important after the Port Arthur laws were brought in, because to own some classifications of weapons, you now had to be members of these shooters clubs. So people who are really into guns join these clubs. But there's always been a wide-scale, relatively broad exemption for people engaged in primary industries to have guns, and so they didn't really need to be part of those clubs necessarily. Mm-hmm. So the kind of the core of the shooters were actually not necessarily rural Australians as much as people on the rural-urban interface and people in cities who really like shooting guns, right? So they're also attempting to broaden out from their kind of base in cities, interestingly enough, into the National Party heartland, which they see as potentially much more fruitful territory for their expansion. So they added that name to their party before the last federal election. And certainly if you look at the Orange by-election, where they've done extraordinarily well, it seems to be paying off for them.